Check. 1, 2. Yep, all good. Well, thank you, Les. So we are going to unpack. We are going to talk about sola fide. What is sola fide? The doctrine of justification by faith alone. The question I have for the church today, the question I have for myself, the question I have for everybody, and the question that people ask today is, how can a man or a woman be right with God? How can a man or a woman be right with God? And we need to confront that question today. And I hope, you know, by the end of all this, we have seen through Scripture what's the answer to that question. How can we answer this question in light of this great doctrine of faith alone? And I'm going to quote John Calvin. He says, quote, "Justification by faith is the principal hinge of all religion." Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 31, it reads, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But it is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in God's merciful restraint, He let the sins previously committed go unpunished. For the demonstration, that is, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It has been excluded. But what kind of law? Of works? No. By a law of faith. For we maintain that a person justified by faith, apart from works of the law, or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also, Paul says, since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. Do we then nullify the law through faith? Far from it. Far from it. On the contrary, we establish the law. Now, I'm just going to take you through a journey in history of the reformers. And one of the names is Martin Luther. Martin Luther, quote, he said once, "Without sola fide, or faith alone, the church cannot exist for 1 hour." See, Martin Luther described justification by faith alone, quote, "the article by which the church stands or falls." So, what Luther is saying here is that the principle sola fide, or faith alone, and nourishes, builds, protects the body, the church. The Dundalk Baptist Church is a church that it's standing for a very long time, and it's due to faith. Due to faith. This is Jesus' church. You see, Martin Luther was a man that was tortured. He was tortured by his loyalty to one true gospel. And just to understand what the fuss really was about, we need to go back to the 16th century to see what the dispute of justification was with Luther and the medieval Catholic Church, the Catholic community back then. According to Rome, justification is accomplished in the first instance sacerdotally. Now, We come back to that word. That is true, that administration of the sacraments through the priesthood, sacerdotally, priesthood. And Rome defined the instrumental cause, the means by which all the benefits of Christ's personal work are communicated to the individual. That instrumental cause is the sacrament of baptism. Rome then and now is consistent, very consistent teaching that the sacrament of baptism, the grace of justification, is infused or poured into the soul of its recipient by the power of the sacrament. The recipient will need to cooperate to his infused grace. Who is the recipient? The sinner has to cooperate, has to work together with God, with I don't know who. Luther completed his theology in his PhD, his theology, his doctorate in theology in 1500s. Then he accepted the chair of the theological faculty of the University of Wittenberg. But there was a time he was in his chambers in a monastery in Wittenberg. Luther was preparing the book of one of the passages in the Book of Psalms. He came across chapter 31, verse 1, and it says, "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame." Now, this is the key part of the verse that threw the old monk off. "In your righteousness, rescue me. In your righteousness, rescue me." This passage definitely confused Luther. How could God's righteousness deliver him? How could God's righteousness save him? The righteousness of God is great justice. This could only condemn him to hell. And that's a righteous punishment, right? That's what Luther saw. But then he encountered a crucial verse in epistles of Romans. And it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, by the righteous one will live by faith." Faith to faith. Sola fide. Faith alone. It's a complete, it's a thorough thing. Faith to faith. From beginning till end, it's thorough. As it's written in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and it says, "The righteous will live by faith." In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, what we saw today, in these words, you know, Luther discovers that sola fide, faith alone. That liberated him. A priest, that liberated him. Someone that had doctorate in theology. He comes across this verse and that liberates him. See, the doctrine of the sola fide, the doctrine of faith alone, precedes Martin Luther. That's nothing new. It precedes him and other reformers even in the 16th centuries. People may claim that they don't find the teaching of justification by faith alone in the Bible or in the scripture until the Reformation came along. And we can easily say today, church, that these are wrong claims. How do we know that? The church fathers touched on this subject. Here's some quotes from one of the early witnesses to this doctrine. This was Clement of Rome, and this is what he says. "Similarly, we also, who by his will have been called in Christ Jesus, are not justified by ourselves, or our own wisdom, or understanding, or godliness, nor by such deeds as we have done in holiness of heart, but by faith, through which Almighty God has justified all men since the beginning of time. Glory be to him forever and ever. Amen." So the Roman Catholic Church, it just pays a lip service to the importance of faith. You see, Rome, the Catholic Church works, the Catholic Church way of religion, or the way it's built, is a system of works of righteousness. Works of righteousness and meritorious rituals. In fact, this is a very common thread among all false religion that you see across the world. That is exactly the common thread that you see across all false religion, throughout history. there's a consistent focus on the justifying merit of human achievement. Human achievement. And we can easily refute that. As we are here today, we can easily refute that by relying on sola scriptura, as Les introduced to us here. Scripture alone. And it says in Romans 11, 16, it says, but if it's by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works, since otherwise grace is no longer grace. Again, back in history, it says, the Roman Catholic Church officially distanced itself from the doctrine of faith alone since the Council of Trent, that they had a council, that they came together in the mid-16th century. Some Catholic apologists even went as far as claiming that they don't even see the doctrine anywhere in the Bible. They don't see it. Now, in this book titled The Creeds of Christendom, Philip Schaff wrote, quote, from the sixth session of the Council of Trent declares, if anyone saith that by faith the impious, or the sinner, is justified in such a wise as to mean that nothing else is required to cooperate in order to the obtaining the grace of justification, and that is not in any way necessary, that he be prepared and disposed by the movement of his own will, let him be anathema, cursed. That's what the Catholic Church says. So you require to work alongside God in order to attain salvation. That's what they say. And if you said it's only by faith alone, the Catholic Church says, no, you're excommunicated. No, that's not what it is. With a resounding rejection to Rome's response to the Reformation, it pronounced those that subscribe to faith alone cursed. Now, let's ask again a question. How can a man or a woman be right with God? There are many ways we can be made right with ourselves. There are many ways we can say, you know what, I'm not feeling well, let me do that, and then I'm right with myself. For example, we could go for a walk, you could travel, you could eat your favorite ice creams, and so forth and so forth. But there was a man in the Bible, his name was Job, we saw today. Most honorable man that ever lived. He famously asked the very same question, Job chapter 9, verse 2, and he says, but how can a man be in the right before God? It's as if Job is asking a rhetorical question, right? It's as if there's no answer to that, right? So that's a rhetorical question. Job here is worried about the impossible task of trying to establish your case before God. It's impossible. It's just impossible. A mighty God, a holy God, bring your case before him. You'll be obliterated. You see, what Job really saying here, you can, you know, if you know the book of Isaiah, you start hearing Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, and it says, all our righteousness deeds are like a filthy garment. Or in Psalm 143, verse 2, it says, in God's sight, no one living is righteous. Yet we see Job, the most honorable man, asking the same question. Someone else in the Bible asked the same question, the prophet Micah. Prophet Micah in chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, it says, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take pleasure in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give him my firstborn for my wrongdoings, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Of course not. This also echoes John Calvin saying, quote, faith is like an empty hand stretched out toward God with nothing to offer and everything to receive, end quote. So how do we answer this question that we need to confront today? This question only leads to another question. Quoting the disciples of Jesus, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Jesus answered by acknowledging the hopelessness, the limitations that we have, this plight of the sinner. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19, with men, this is impossible. It's impossible. But our Lord continued, with God, all things are possible. Dear brothers and sisters, Dundalk Baptist Church, it's a futile venture to try to save ourselves. It's futile, it's foolish. You only make things worse. Our Lord says, it's impossible. Jesus said, it's impossible. Just with that statement, he declares the human dilemma. But then, our Lord shifts with some encouragement. With God, all things are possible. Meaning, God does the saving. He does the saving. He alone. Because when we read in the prophets, in the major prophets in the Old Testament, God kept saying, I will, I will, I will. No, we will. No, God just kept saying, I will, I will. God does the saving. God does the saving. So with this truth in mind, we can effectively say that this right standing with God, or this greater salvation, is not merit of my own. You see, only God that does regeneration. He alone justifies. He alone sanctifies. He alone glorifies. He alone. And that's why we're doing the solace. Alone, alone, alone. We read in Romans chapter 3, those verses there, and I'd just like to read that again. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God. And that's what startled Luther, this righteousness. That's what startled Luther, Martin Luther. Jesus came to earth as a man, born under the law. Jesus lived a sinless life, become the perfect embodiment of human righteousness, right standing with God. He alone is perfect. He alone is perfect. Only Jesus. He alone is perfect, suited mediator between God and man. So we can say that those that are reconciled with God have been imputed. Now, another word, imputed with his righteousness. What are we? We have been credited. We have been credited with this righteousness. And that's the sole ground of the sinner justification. So God does not accept us based on something good about us, something praiseworthy that he finds in me or you. Our good works contribute nothing at all to our righteous standing with God. Again, if we trust in our own goodness, we are doomed. We are doomed. God only accepts absolute perfection. That's his standard. That's his standard. Absolute perfection. And we ought to fear that. We ought to fear that. R.C. Sproul once said that we are saved to God, we also saved from God. We are saved from God. For all have sinned, for all have fallen short of the glory of God, But here is the good news. Here is the good news. True believers are united with Christ through faith. Again, that word again, faith. We are united with Christ through faith alone. Faith alone. And that's how God justifies the ungodly. And that's how God justifies the unbeliever. That's how God justifies the atheist. Justification by faith alone is the heart of the gospel. That's the center. To reject the sola fide introduces a requirement of works that negates salvation. Here's the key, faith alone. So, this means that by anyone that has ever been made right with God, they possess faith alone. Anybody that's been made right with God, they possess that faith alone. Israel's sacrificial system now had no capacity whatsoever to save sinners, as we read in the Old Testament. No capacity whatsoever. The sacrificial laws we see in the Old Testament, these are only but pictures of the great sacrifice that is to come. The laws concerning the priests, these are pictures of this great priest that is to come, which already came, who was Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our mediator. That was all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Prophet Isaiah says in chapter 1, he says, "What are your many sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. And I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats." You see, faith was always the basis of God's redemptive plan. Faith alone. Israel's patriarch, Abraham, was not saved by his piety. It was not saved by his piety. Abraham believed in God. He believed. And again, it goes back again to what I just said. Good works will not save anyone. It's only by means of faith alone. So when we read in Romans 3:20, by works of the law, no human being is justified. Now I'd just like to focus a little bit, zoom in on that, the law. What are you talking about here, Paul? What are you saying? So the meaning behind this expression is that these works are not just limited to the Jews, no. To the rituals that was going on in the Old Testament, to the ceremonies that were taking place. So the key part of this verse here really is human beings. So this verse is talking to all of us. Again, behind the meaning of this expression is that works includes what? Thought, action, our attitude. So anything that we do to gain God's approval. No good work of any kind contributes anything to the sinner's justification before God. Justification by faith leaves no one with any ground of personal boasting. There's no pride there. We cannot be boastful about it. So now the big question here is now really, are we excluding works? Okay, you said, I believe. What about works? Do we exclude altogether? By no means. Though our good works adds no merit to our faith before God, our sole condition of our justification in our faith in Christ, if good works do not follow from our profession of faith, it's a clear indication that we do not possess justifying faith. So there needs to be fruits. There's faith and there's works that follow. So James chapter 2, verse 17 says, "In the same way, faithful soul, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." So church, living faith produces good works. And that is the evidence of someone that possesses genuine faith. James in verse 18 says, he goes on to challenge anyone who claims to have faith to demonstrate it, to make it visible to the body. James says, you have faith? And I have works. Show me your faith with all the works. And I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, there ought to be a visible fruits. Faith isn't a work. Faith produces work. When Les and Michael come up here, they acknowledge for all the work that is being done in the church. Why? Because those works are the visible evidence of faith. Those works are the visible evidence of faith. Faith alone. So, sola fide, as we have unpacked here, was the central to the Reformation and its success, of course. But it still addresses the fundamental question that each of us must answer today. This earthly life here, my dear brothers and sisters, is short. But eternity with God is very long, very, very long. I cannot even compute that. It's just too long. One day we will stand before our Maker. One day we will come before God and we will have no excuses. We will come before Him. And we cannot escape that encounter. We cannot. There are no exits. You are right before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It will take place. It will take place. So how can me or you be made right with God or be right in His sight? The five solas that we are been doing over the past couple of weeks helps us to answer this. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, sola fide. Acts chapter 16, verse 30-31 says, "What?" The jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And this is what the apostle said to him. Believe. That's your sola fide. Believe. That's your sola fide. That's your faith alone. Then it goes on to say, it says, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christus alone, or solus Christus. Christ alone, as we saw last week with Stephen here, and you shall be saved. According to Scripture alone, sola scriptura, and for the glory of God, solo Deo gloria. So we are saved by grace alone, through faith, in Christ, according to Scriptures, for the glory of God, all for His glory. And there's no room for boasting. There's no room for pride. It's all He's doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank You, Lord, for opening Your words, Lord, and show us Your word, Lord, for it's by grace alone, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the gift of faith, Lord. It's only a gift, Lord. And praise You, Lord, that I didn't have to work for it, Lord, that none of us had to work for it. As we read, all our righteousness as filthy garments. Praise You, Lord. If anyone here, Lord, does not possess that faith, Lord. Oh, Lord, open those spiritual eyes, Lord. Speak to that person, speak to that individual. And let them grow, Lord. Let them flourish. And not rely on their works, Lord, but on faith alone. Amen. Amen.